Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the After Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Well, hello, beautiful people.
And Justin, actionnewsgame.com, Robert, actionnewsgame.com, Young. So we are in a very exciting period, and that is the period in which we get to talk to Justin about the Kickstarter campaign. What's going on so far, what it means, how did you plan for it, and what are the next steps? Because it's man, you know, you have one of those things where you, like, I know, like, with a book, you write a book, you finish a book, people are like, congratulations. You're like, it's only started.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Obviously the everything's gone well, really well. We are at 222% funded over what we asked for, which was $15,000. We are gaining on our backer goal of I think
your next unlock is 1,000 backers, right?
No, 750. So we are under 100 backers away from unlocking that, which is good. This is the kind of secret sauce that I will give to you guys on After Things that I don't want to talk about much because it's not great kind of for the public consumption, but anybody who's listening to this, I think, kind of understands the spirit in which it is offered, which is that it's a little disappointing to look at the graphs between the contender and this and see this lagging behind it. And ultimately, we kind of knew that there was going to be the probability of that because we have to contend with the July 4th holiday, which we didn't have to contend with the contender. But we did so well on our first day. We were hoping that the pacing would kind of make up for it. But as of yet, we have yet to kind of see some of the explosive growth that we saw from the contender at this point. And part of that is due to a few things. The contender at this point, it got featured on Kickstarter's Twitter. And I believe by this point had gotten featured in Kickstarter's newsletter, their email newsletter. We are a project that Kickstarter loves, which is cool, but we are, I think, 5 or 6 pages deep into it. I can hazard a couple guesses as to why we're being ordered at that level. And part of it is kind of a victim of our own success. Right, that we are we did very, very well and we funded extraordinarily fast, but that means that maybe in Kickstarter's algorithm, that means that, you know, hey, we have doubled our dream, so via con Dios. I still hope that we get featured there because I think that could go a long way to bringing us beyond what we made for the contender. But the other element is us just pounding the pavement on getting more press and more of everything, basically. So that is the goal this week, is to start calling in all the favors and talking to everybody that we sent demo copies and asking for some of the love there. The other thing that we're working on is kind of a reaction to the video, which is something that has been very, very popular and a lot of people have really, really liked. But, you know, even before we launched, you know, the wise people that we showed it to kind of made the point that this is great at selling the theme. It is not fantastic at selling the game. And part of that was a decision that we made in the creation process, but we want to now kind of fill in those gaps a little bit. So I spent some of the before we actually launched, shooting some stuff, and then combine that with some footage I shot yesterday of me kind of back in costume and back in character, walking people through the game itself and trying to make it as understandable and fun as possible. And balancing those two is a lot more challenging than one might think, to try to keep it fun and pithy, but then also not make it more confusing than it might be. So this weekend has pretty much been spent editing things together and trying to continue to find new and different people that have not played the game to show the video to, and just get their sense of, like, do you get it? Does it seem fun? And that is hard to do when you are, by and large, either talking the people that I have access to that aren't just the random public are, you know, friends and followers and Diamond Club people and everything. So it's been interesting, you know. I'd be lying to tell you that it hasn't been challenging. It is a unique unique brand of frustration to be, you know, frustrated that $35,000 worth of free money is not $50,000 worth of free money. It's not something that a lot of people want to hear you talk about.
And I guess that explains, as far as I know, this is the first time that I've heard that. I think last time I really checked in on it, all I knew is that it funded faster than the previous iteration. But I'm guessing that between the holiday season, it just the trajectory was just different than last go around.
Tremendously. Yeah. I think we are about, without eyeballing it, I think we're about $10,000 or $15,000 behind where we were last time. And again, there's a lot of things that, you know, in 2 seconds, all of a sudden that would be made up based on the metrics that we saw in terms of the conversion of when Kickstarter gets behind you, how much that literally translates to dollars. That could be different in 5 seconds from now. Right.
Right.
But there's I think if we're going to start kind of like writing the first draft of this story, part of it is that, you know, there's the blessing and the curse of launching on that weekend that was right before the black hole. And number two, I think we, and Brian, you know, this in terms of just, crafting the best story, you don't want to blow up the Death Star too quick, you know? And I think it was just such a momentous, amazing occasion on Friday to fund in 3 hours that I think there was a lot of the tension that kind of got taken out of it. It was like, we launched, we won, we're done.
Right. It's almost as though, these guys, they clearly have learned their lesson from last time, and clearly this is the time they're going to win. Look at them. They've already funded. They don't need to rely on me. And all you want to scream to everyone is, no, we very, very deeply need to rely on you personally.
Yeah. And also to the point where it's like, you don't want to bother people. You don't want to start blowing up your fireworks during 4th of July, oddly enough, because not as many people are looking. So, you know, you want to wait until this week to kind of hit people up. But at the same time, now it's been a week since we won. And you know, it is frustrating. You know, we had a little get together with a bunch of people that Ashley and I know on Saturday. And, you know, everybody gave their congratulations and they're like, yeah, so you're done, right? And it's like, no, we literally just launched.
Yeah.
Like we have 23 days on this to go. And, we certainly hoped, we hope that this will at least kind of get to where the contender got, if not, you know, more so. So there's still a lot to go, and there's a lot that we have yet to kind of tap into and kind of take advantage of. And, you know, part of it is also trying to organize, might do a trip to Austin to not only do, you know, a live Night Attack, which are always better and good, but also maybe swing through a couple other podcasts and just try to get the word out as much as possible. But really, I mean, a lot of this is on me now, you know, and trying to work all those angles. So that's where it's at now. Again, I don't want this to sound dour because it's not. To be honest, if we, based on some of the quotes we've gotten back on the game, if we just decided that Action News was just going to be this Kickstarter and the only time that you would ever be able to get it would be on the Kickstarter, we could probably still make more money on it than if we than what we've made on the Contender so far, like even right now. So, right. You know, we're very. It is a success. It is a tremendous success. But at the same time, when you're that close to doing something even bigger, the desire just gets that much more.
Sure. Well, and if I can, you know, I don't know, from my point of view, it's like, hey, man, sure is snowing a lot. Would be great if there was an avalanche. Oh, there's not an avalanche. Okay, well, here's where we have to do the default expected thing, which is work really hard to move all this snow.
Yeah. And so that's where we're at. You know, there's
so
a lot that helped us with the Contender that is out of our control, and then there's a lot that helped us with the Contender that's more in our control, and that's what we're focusing on this week.
That's actually a really interesting point that I'd love to get your feedback on, is how do you, what lessons have you learned, if not, you know, this week, then from previous iterations with the Contender and so on? Whenever you're doing a team-based anything, all anybody wants is for the whole team to win. And, you know, we all have different jobs. And you as hype man, you know, like, what are some general suggestions for anybody doing a team-based project to make sure that you keep morale as high as you're able without overextending yourself?
To be brutally honest with you, man, hopefully I'll have answers when we're done.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, because keep in mind,
like this is you know, we've said on the podcast, this has been a very straining process on our team, and you know, it's been beyond what I was expecting. And, you know, for a team that was very ambitious and then had a very straining kind of launch, I think we are still kind of figuring out exactly where all the pieces go.
I know that, you know, what I've gone through, like with book releases, is that, you know, you work towards something, it's time to release it. And if you're part of a team, man, you know, it can be challenging when you have an idea on what you need to do, have an idea on what they want to do. And then in my own experience, it's like, and nobody can agree on it and nothing happens, you know, which is, that's like really frustrating. And I've always personally, you know, I've always been fearful of team projects because I either don't want to be the most ambitious person on there or the least ambitious person in the project. And it's scary when, you know, if you're, it's always, if at least great, something's getting done. If you're not, if you're the most, that's great, but it's hard, you know. And I admire the fact your ability to collaborate and get people together and work on stuff like these things, because it's, you know, it starts off as a labor of love, you know, and that's where it starts from. Everybody has an idea, they like something and do it, and that's pretty cool. But that's a challenge, just maintaining, you know, everybody on the same page and getting things through and next steps. And when it can be very, you know, at the point at which you're the most exhausted is when you have to put in the hardest work.
Yeah. And you know, I don't think that there's a lot about this that has scared me about working on a team. Because I look at the end result and I know that it's just not something I would ever be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there is a tremendous amount of, I know, second guessing on my part on a lot, including just not being more aggressive of pushing up our timetable on when we could shoot the video and when, you know, we could have it done by and just,
Well, I mean, a touchback. I guess what I was going to get to is like the trade-off. Like I've always sort of gone for smaller scale things, but that's always limited what I can do. And, you know, the trade-off is when you work with a group of people, on one hand, is you don't get the same degree of necessary control of like, hey, I'm going to make sure this, I get to every day make sure this thing gets moved forward. But the other side of it is, you know, you work with great graphic designers and game designers and, Guts and Glory, they're amazing designers. TSDL's got a great idea for game mechanics and stuff. And that's the thing, is you say, okay, I'm going to sacrifice. I've learned from me, I'm like, I have to sacrifice a certain amount of control. Like when I work at the publisher, the upside is I get paired with an amazing editors. Maybe I don't always agree with my editors. Maybe I don't always agree with the marketing campaign, but overall, far more capable. I'm far more capable with the right team to do things than I can on my own. And, you know, it's the choice, but I think that those choices generally, on average, turn out very, very well when it's with a good team and capable people.
I mean, I'm extraordinarily proud of everything that we've done. And listen, I really don't want this to sound like, you know, woe is me, because it really isn't. I mean, we've had so many people back already, and we are just we are so thrilled with everything. It is a hard time trying to push that rock up the hill, you know?
I wonder how much of your feeling you're having right now has less to do with where the rock actually is or knowledge of how much far you have to push it, but so much of the fact that you're coming off a year where it's like you banged the drum so hard and for so long on the contender that there has to be some familiarity to this point where it just feels like you're very aware of that long. It's like you finish the first mile of a marathon and then all of a sudden it hits you how long a marathon is.
Yeah. Part of the reason that I banged the drum so hard on the contender was because we were in debt though, you know, and the goal is that we're not going to be in debt.
It was terror banging the first time.
Yeah, like the goal
not
on this
like
one
the
is
rapist sloth and the molesting spider.
Oh, the molesting spider! Ah.
The goal on this is that there would be less of that, and obviously we would want to be aggressive with everything, and we want to continue selling stuff. But you know, that's right now. I'm more just kind of. To be honest, the big two things that are on my worry list, not worry list, but my priority list is making sure that our team is good and intact and functioning and making sure that the Kickstarter continues to do well, just because, you know, to be honest, and one feeds into the other, like I really want to do this for them, you know? I'm at a point now where the money that comes in, I want for them, more than I want for me. And if I, because they worked so hard on it and I just want to make that a reality and I want to hold up my side of the bargain. I want to make this a. I feel a tremendous personal weight to make this a success.
Yeah.
I want to ask you. I want to talk about for. You mentioned before the whole aspect of like you launch and then people like, hey, man, congratulations. How much does that play into it? Because I know that's often my perception of many Kickstarters is that, oh wait, they met their funding goal. Good for them. Now anyhow, and that's. You know, I guess that's such a perception issue. Is there anything you can do differently or is that just the way it is?
I think that part of it is that we got caught in a mushy middle because we were hoping that our trajectory with the contender would be the same with this and we would be more cruising toward 1,000 at this point. And there's a reason why we have 1,000 kind of questioned out because it is a big fun thing and we would hope that would kind of usher in the next sort of wave, right? Like once we get into that gravitational pull, now the push is 1,000, and then we do something after 1,250 as like a what? I can't believe it. We got here. So where we're at now is kind of stuck in a little bit of a ditch in that we have a interesting but not particularly exciting a 750 backer thing. And what I would suspect is that the more we talk about kind of where we're at right now over the next couple of days is maybe we reveal the 1,000 thing a little earlier than we were suspecting and make that a little bit of a bigger deal going forward, just to kind of make it about like, uh-oh, but no, now this game is something different. Now this game is something that I really, really want to get behind just to keep that going. Because, you know, again, it was really, really weird because in a way, I did a really good job in priming the pump with our hardcore audience, so much so that we destroyed our pace in the first 12 hours, right?
Right.
But, you know, I think that there was a little bit of a, all right, got it, checked out, and that's it. And now we don't have anything super exciting closer to keep it a, yup, here we go, let's do this other cool thing.
Well, so there's no downside to tipping that information a little bit early if you feel like what you want to do is stimulate forward momentum, right?
Yeah, I mean, I want to make sure that I'm not revealing stuff that, you know, without people turning their keys.
Sure.
But
sure.
if it's us girls, you know, we're gonna do a whole companion app for it, and that's, you know, something that we need extra money to do. But anybody who's played the game knows that there's a timing element, and we have a whole framework and fun stuff that we can do with a standalone companion app. And you know, that's something that I think can be a value add to the game. But also part of it is people understanding the game and people thinking that it's fun. So I mean, I don't know. You know, there's the old adage that you know, success has many fathers and you know, failure is an orphan, and there's no failure here, right? But when things are not kind of going the way that you want, there's a million ways that you can look at it as you know, like, okay, well, we could have done this and could have done that and could have changed this and could have shifted these, and now and then of course that now becomes a million different possible solutions, and now we just got to figure exactly where they are and exactly, you know, what they want to do. Inner Beard says he's a standalone companion app an oxymoron. I guess so. Yeah, I guess it is just a companion app. It's not a standalone app.
Well, regardless, man, I can say this for the first time. I don't think I've spoken to you since I played the game with my wife and daughter over the past week. It's great. It's great, and I lost every round and still had a really, really good time. Because it doesn't just cater to the extrovert in the group.
Yeah.
Not that the contender was designed that way, but the contender, a side effect was that extroverts could sell certain pairings
yeah.
a little bit better than other folks. This one, very much, you have a writing phase where nothing's going on, but you planning out your execution. And when you get there, even if you're not a showy person, you're able to put together a story that is on rails and strong enough to carry you to success, as my daughter and wife discovered.
That's awesome. Which of the daughters did you play with?
Penelope and Bonnie.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because doing the rules video, I just like, man, this is a good game. Like, I do really like this game, and I love it, and I just really want to get out there and play it. And so, listen, there's a lot of stuff coming up. We're gonna be doing live streams for the game, and it'll be from the Action News set, which will be great. You know, you know, I don't know. I think everybody here has been in the middle of a big project, and you know, it's so funny that when all of your dreams coming true, the tone of your voice doesn't sound like it, you know. And I know, having been friends with both you guys during very key and big, gigantic moments in your personal lives and careers, very often that's the time where you can kind of sound, you know, most frayed and sort of out there, while everybody else, while anybody can do is just slap you on the back and tell you how much you made it. And you're like, yeah, but you know, like, I could really make it a lot more if a few things went my way.
Yep. I could definitely agree with that. So, along those lines, I wonder if we could do a set of picks, you know, for the person who needs that extra get up and go. I saw Baby Driver last night.
I haven't seen it yet. Is it, I've heard it is the most controversial movie in my Twitter feed.
Controversial in what way? Like do people just
like everybody? So it kind of like, I think it was described on a podcast that I was listening to as like having the Oscar movie. It's going through the Oscar movie cycle where it's like everybody loves it and all they can do is talk about how amazing it is and it's the best thing since sliced bread. And then there's the second wave of like, well, actually, look at this pacing problem and look at this performance problem. And it really is like derivative of this and it's not as good as this other thing and yada, yada, yada. So, and then, of course, there's the wave to counteract the wave that's like, hey, all you nitpickers, screw off. Like it's really a great movie. So that's kind of what I'm seeing in my Twitter feed.
Yeah. I loved what they were aiming for, and I loved the structure that they did for it. I could tell it landed right on target for someone, but just who wasn't me, you know. This is a primarily music and choreography driven movie. On paper, I should love everything about it. They in the first 20 minutes, they name check and start singing lyrics to Deborah by Beck. You know, I'm there with Bonnie and it's in a lovey-dovey context. And that song has always been so hilarious to the two of us. The driving choreography is extraordinary. It takes place at Dragon Con. Everything is shot within four blocks of a place that's been very precious to you and me, Justin. And yet, yeah, ultimately, I was just left feeling like an old man that was irrelevant to the story. Like, I couldn't even relate to the old people in the story because I'm like, that's dumb. Why are you doing that? An awful lot of character motivations are because he's this character and because he's that character and so on. And now it's time to hate this person. And I don't know. Ultimately, I ended up fatigued. There's an awful lot of moments of getting really excited with each carjacking, not unlike playing Grand Theft Auto. And you get really excited. You're like, this is it. This is going to be the car that takes me the rest. I'm going to fall in love with this car. This is going to be my car for the rest of the game. Oh, there's another car. Let's say, all right, here it is. They're getting rid of it again. And I don't know. It ended up fatiguing me. Having said all that, the direction was extraordinary. I love the integration of the music and the action. They do so in a very novel, artistic way that I liked an awful lot.
Awesome. My pick will be Fargo. I'm all the way up to the finale. We didn't watch the finale last night, but I'm excited for it. I will say that it is a series that I think somewhat unlike the previous two, I felt took a little bit longer to kind of build. But man, when it gets humming, there is kind of nothing like that very earnest, weird, macabre brutality that is Fargo.
Yeah, man.
Is Andrew still there?
Going to double down on my Radio Dimension X pick. It's so much fun.
How physically are you listening to it? Is it just on Alexa?
Physically, Brian.
But can you listen in your ear holes, or do you have to listen for the whole room?
So it's available in other formats. So it's like their Radio Dimension X has been released. And like, I've tried before, like with, like downloading the files from like an Amazon Music or something like this. And it was just, it was hard to find, get back to where it was before, you know. And I think somebody's released them onto like iTunes or into Audible, but they broke them up into like four or five different things and it's public domain. So you can get it from like archive.org and you can just get all the episodes there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way to go do it. So I have the Echo Dot in my bedroom and I have a little pillow speaker that I use. So I just plug that into the Dot because the Dot has a little speaker out. So, but there are a lot of different ways in which you can get it.
That's a brilliant. It's brilliant. And nobody should ever tell Andrew that that's not the most brilliant thing in the world. As soon as he told it to me, I'm like, I need to buy, you should sell it as the main pack. It's so brilliant.
The pillow speaker?
Just the Dot plus pillow speaker.
It's just
perfect.
It's great. It's great.
That would be a doubly adorable for me because that's even back in high school. This would have been early 1990s. I would tune into AM radio stations that on Sunday nights would play old time radio theater because I love the idea of listening to a story with my eyes closed.
Yeah, no, it's a fun. That's my I go to bed and that's how I listen to my audiobooks. And I live in an apartment, so I've had sometimes it's been louder. I think sometimes my neighbors get annoyed, so I just do the pillow speaker and. Sometimes I've dated girls that have no problems with audio playing. Sometimes it keeps them up. So,
clever.
All right, gentlemen. It's been after.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.